Getting Fixed, a novel by Myrna Milani, read by Myrna Milani. All rights reserved. Prologue. It was one of those late spring days for which the abbreviated New Hampshire seacoast was legendary more than three decades ago, a day when the combination of the sun's heat and the ocean's coolness kept everyone just a little off-balanced. The Addison Elementary School's second graders were no exception. In spite of their teachers' dogged determination to instill enthusiasm for reading, writing, arithmetic, music, and art, nothing could eclipse her students' view that the annual pet show was the highlight of the year. In a house on a tree-lined street, three blocks from the school, Justine Beauregard critically scrutinized the image of herself holding the family cat in the mirror. Slowly she pivoted to the right and then to the left, studying the two of them from all angles in minute detail. She liked what she saw. The color of the Persian's long, silky, amber fur matched the color of her carefully brushed curls perfectly. She and the cat both superficially scanned their surroundings with green eyes. The narrow yellow ribbons onto which Justine had laboriously glued tiny pink bows now adorned her necks and the cat's, completing the unified effect. No doubt about it, they were shoo-ins to win the pet look-alike contest. Two houses down the block from Justine's, Bernie Romano tried to figure out how he could win a prize at the pet show, given that he had no pet and had no interest in animals whatsoever. Still, even at this tender young age, Bernie hated to lose. If that meant making sacrifices, so be it. Squaring his sloping little shoulders, he resolutely marched into his older brother's room. "I want to borrow your dog," he announced, as if it were a done deed. "Why?" his older brother countered. "You told me just yesterday you hated him." "I still do," admitted Bernie, "but I need a pet for the pet show." "What's it worth to you?" "How about I don't tell Mom and Dad about that can of beer and those Naked Lady magazines hidden in the back of your closet?" Shortly thereafter, Bernie dragged the reluctant mongrel to his room, where he outfitted the dog with four mismatched socks and a T-shirt from Disney World. Next, he cut two small holes in the sides of his younger brother's favorite-built cap and pulled the dog's large floppy ears through the holes until they protruded horizontally like large furry wings. "That's the funniest-looking dog I've ever seen," his brother exclaimed when Bernie showed him his handiwork. Bernie beamed and thought about where he'd hang his prize ribbon in his room. Chucky Getz's father looked up from his desk at the funeral home when his wife entered. "Did you get it?" he asked. "Yes, but I had to drive all over Portsmouth until I found a pet store that sold them," she replied as she sank into one of the plush chairs usually reserved for the bereaved. "It's worth it," her husband assured her. "He went into major monster mode and threw a fit when I said he couldn't have a tarantula." "Well, he did have his little heart set on winning the strangest pet contest." Mrs. Getz's voice trailed off and she shuddered. "You don't think those things are poisonous, do you?" "We can hope," her husband replied with a weak grin, still chafing at the memory of his heir's unseemly behavior in the Eternal Rest Chapel the previous day. On the other side of town, Billy Paradise sat in the living room of his house and brushed his dog's gleaming coat for the third time that morning. Theoretically, he wasn't officially a student at the Addison Elementary School, but no one in town could imagine him and his dog not participating in the show. "Nana looks beautiful," his mother signed to him. "Shall I make a special collar for her to match your shirt?" Billy laughed and clapped his hands excitedly. "But not this shirt," he signed. "I want to wear my blue one." His mother located both the blue shirt and some matching blue fabric. She should have known he'd want to wear that shirt to the pet show. Billy always wore blue for special occasions. At the easternmost extremity of Addison, where signs of human habitation wane considerably, a gravel road slips away from Route 1A so unobtrusively that only those specifically looking for it notice it. About 2 miles down that road, a narrow driveway on the right leads to a nondescript old farmhouse. There, 7-year-old Callie Shackelford hung out a second-story window, methodically swinging a large, shabby teddy bear by one hind leg, patiently waiting for the garish eyes and mouth she painted on him with her mother's nail polish to dry. "I don't think we could win the smartest or cutest pet contest," she told the bear to fill the time while the thick layers of lacquer dried. "But I bet you'll be the..." She paused, trying to remember the word Billy Paradise's mother used to describe a black bear she'd discovered raiding her bird feeder last winter. "Noble," she announced when the word came to her. "You'll be the noblest..." pet there. As she continued swinging the bear from her awkward position, she remained vigilant for any sign of her mother's impending approach. She really didn't think her mother would seek her out because she normally displayed little interest in Callie's activities. Nonetheless, every once in a while her mother did very strange things, and Callie did not want to be caught hanging out the window swinging Teddy if that happened. Back and forth, back and forth. The bear grew increasingly heavy and awkward. When Callie's right arm began to tremble with fatigue, she switched arms and continued swinging the bear with her left. Back and forth, back and forth. The sun glinted relentlessly off the thick layers of wet polish. Soon the hand clutching the shaggy leg began to perspire. And then the bear's thick fur began to slide from her grasp. "No, Teddy, no!" Callie pleaded, fiercely digging her polish-stained fingers deep into the toy's slippery plush. Teddy was her only pet. She could not, she would not, let go of him. You've been listening to an excerpt from Getting Fixed, a novel by Myrna Milani, read by Myrna Milani. For more information about this and other books by the author, please visit mmilani.com. The song Irritations into Pearls was composed and performed by Jeff Firestone. For more information about Jeff and his music, please contact him at retromusic@verizon.net. Thanks for listening.